something for me this week that was powerful. And I called Dennis Allen. I said, Dennis, I just have to call you and tell you what God did for me this morning. And then I thought, who else? And I called Brother Martis. I said, we had just gotten off the phone, and I called him back. I said, I forgot to tell you, I got to tell you something God did for me. And I thought, who else is spiritual in the church I can share this with? And that was the only two that came to mind. But what level, what level of prayer in your life are you at? What part does prayer play in your life? Dr. Curtis Hudson, who was the pastor of the great Forest Hills Baptist Church in Georgia, and later the editor of the Soul of the Lord, traveled with Dr. John R. Rice. And he and Dr. Rice, was the founder of the Soul of the Lord, mighty man of God and man, great evangelist. And he said, Dr. Hudson said, that sometimes they would share a room, and that in this room there would be a recliner that Dr. Rice was reclining in, and he's laying back. Now, Dr. Hudson, he told this story. I heard him tell the story. And he said Dr. John Rice would start praying to God, and Dr. Hudson would say, Dr. Rice, did you call me? He said, no, I'm just talking to God. And he'd be doing something, and Dr. Rice would be mumbling and saying something. He said, I'm sorry, Dr. Rice, I didn't hear you. He said, oh, that's okay. It wasn't for you. It's for God. I'm just talking to God. And Dr. Hudson said that Dr. Rice's prayer life was so developed that it was like carrying on a conversation with God there in the room with him. Now, you know what's wrong with a lot of us? Our prayer life ends with, thank you for the food. Or it starts with this, oh God, I'm at the end of my rope, and I'm at the bottom of the barrel, oh God. And that's the essence of our prayer life. You've heard me say before that if you go to Walmart, there are entrance doors and exit doors. If you go to Lowe's, there are entrance doors and there's exit doors. But all on the side of those buildings, there are emergency doors. And they have these little arms that have like a red stop sign on it. It says, in case of emergency, go out these doors. But they would be quite upset with us if we used the emergency doors. If there wasn't a threat, if there wasn't a fire, has anyone ever just gone out of the emergency door just because you want to? You know better than that. You go to the front of the store. And I want you to know, prayer is not an emergency door. It's not an escape hatch. There's an entrance and there's an exit door at the front with God. What level of prayer are you at? What part does prayer play in your life? Are you a thank you for the taters and for the beans and for the ham? Amen. Or are you really one who symbolically or maybe physically falls on your face and you intercede for others? In Luke chapter 18, the Lord says in verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, I'm going to take that as my proposition this evening. Now, in chapter 11 of the Gospel of Luke, this is not the Lord's Prayer. If you look down, he says, in Luke 11, he says in verse 1, or he says in verse 2, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, this is not the Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord's model prayer. The Lord's Prayer you find in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's praying to God about this cup. Now, What part does prayer? This is, I believe, some wonderful, matter of fact, if you remember a couple of years ago, Winston, I taught a whole series on prayer, and then COVID hit right after that. And I have much more in-depth messages than what I'm sharing tonight. But the point of my proposition tonight is for you to pray, for you to develop a prayer life deeper than praying over the lunch or praying over the supper or dinner. For you to intercede for people. For you to ring the bells of heaven. For you to be an intercessor. And for you to have that direct connection that God hears and answers. Let me share some wonderful truths about prayer. Number one, let me say first of all, prayer is a real thing. So there are some who would think that that's for children and that's what children do and they pray. But prayer is a real thing. And you know what makes it real? God hears. That makes it real, doesn't it? The Bible says in verse 1 of Luke 18, he says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Now, I want to say something, and there might be some who might take issue with this, and that's fine. I don't know everything, but I think this is a true statement. I believe that prayer is something of a basic inborn value. I think that prayer is something of a basic inborn value. And what I mean by that is within man to want to speak to the Creator. If you go to the darkest jungles of New Guinea, and you go there, and there are still tribes there who've never seen a white man. They've never heard English. They've never seen a Bible. That's still, I think, one of the last frontiers in New Guinea out in those jungles. But you'll find where they have taken a stone and they have chiseled out a god. You'll find where they've taken a piece of trunk of a tree and they've carved out a god, and they pray to that stone. Why is that so? Because man desperately wants to be connected to the Creator. Those savages, as naked and as uncouth and uneducated as they are, uncivilized as they are, they look and they see the heavens, and God reveals himself to them through the heavens, Romans chapter 1. And they so much want to connect. So this is why I make the statement, prayer is something that is a basic inborn value. Even the savages in the jungles of the darkest places hewn out a stone or a stump, and they pray to it because they desperately want to know the Creator. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, the Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that," what? "Diligently seek him." Prayer is a real deal. Prayer is a real thing. And the thing that makes it real is that God hears. Secondly, let me say that prayer is a simple thing. Prayer is conversation with God. Yes. Debbie and I were talking about a couple that I pastored in Coldwater, Mississippi many, many, many years ago. And they were a precious, precious family. And he has passed on since this time. She is much older, and she's buried two children. She had one son that passed, and then she had this a wonderful daughter that died, and she's still living. And but she is a lady, and when I say this, I don't mean I'm not being mean here. I'm just stating the fact. She is a lady that does not ever shut up. I mean, she talks. Now you say, "Pastor, you're embellishing." I'm not embellishing it, not a bit. And you, not only does she not ever shut up, you cannot close it and get away from her. I mean, you want to just put your fingers in your ears and you want to run away as fast as you can. Now, she's a darling of a lady, and I love her to death, but she never, ever runs out of conversation. She talks about everything. And listen, conversation, prayer is a simple thing. It's conversation with God. Yes. Dr. Hudson would talk about Dr. Rice and how he would be talking. Dr. Hudson would turn and say, "I'm sorry, Dr. Rice, did you say something?" "No, I'm just talking with God." just talking with God. You know, he walks with me, he talks with me, he tells me I am his own. Can I tell you, there's been many times I've been out in the field on a John Deere lawnmower, and God is talking to me, and I have to pull over and weep a little bit and talk with him. There's been times that I've been driving, and I've been thinking about the goodness of God, and God begins to deal with me. The Spirit of God begins to move me, and I start blowing my horn. I get happy. My horn is my amen, and get happy. Prayer is a simple thing. He says in Psalm 10, verse 17, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. Prayer is simplistic, and it's because of the simplicity of prayer that any child can pray. I have a number of cards at our recent anniversary that the church gave to us. I had a number of homemade cards from children, and it's interesting how they would say, happy 34th anniversary, and you're the best preacher, and they just wrote all kinds of true things down there. I was really grateful about it. But every one of them, almost every one of them put in there, Pastor, we're praying for you. We're praying for your back. I got a card in the mail yesterday from Mosey and from Alan Ray from Ohio. And they just had, Lydia had written it, but they had spoken it. You could tell by the way it was written. It was their words. And they were talking about what they're doing in Ohio and how they go to the park and how they've got a dog. And they're talking about this thing. But in the very last paragraph, they said, Pastor, we're praying for you and for your hip surgery. That's what they said. I've had children, when I walk in, our children, our church children, come and wrap their arms around my legs and come and give me a hug and say, Pastor, I'm so glad to see you. We're praying for you. Now, I want to tell you this. I like it when children pray for me. I believe God really hears their prayers. And understand, prayer is offering up our desire unto God. Prayer is asking and receiving. Prayer is asking because we feel and we feel a need, and we know, we believe that we can receive our petition. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, the Bible says, and this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Whatsoever we ask. The problem is, we're asking to bless the beans and the taters and the ham. We're not really praying in a deeper level. You know, there are different, I read a book some years ago on depression. And there are so many levels of depression, it's unbelievable. When people say, I'm depressed, I wonder which level, because there's 100 million different levels of depression. There's a depression that I just feel gloomy. There's a depression that I can't leave the house. There's a depression I want to blow my brains out. There's different levels. And I want you to know there's different levels of prayer. And prayer is a real thing because God hears. And prayer is a simple thing. Even children can pray because it's conversation with God. There's been some times in my life where when I'm talking to someone about coming to the Lord, I'd say, now in your own words, would you ask the Lord to forgive you? And they say, oh, I wouldn't know how to do that. I said, well, sure you do. You talk to your wife, just talk to God. You commune with others, commune with God, because I want you to know God wants to commune with you. Understand this. We have, he says, and if we know that he hears us. Now, how do we know that he hears us? If what we are asking are in accordance with his will. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Prayer is asking because we feel this great deep need, and we believe, we know that we can receive our petitions. We know that God is the answer. There is no mystery in any of this. Number three, not only is prayer a real thing and a simple thing, but prayer is absolutely a desirable thing. You know, the Bible says in verse 1 of our text of Luke chapter 18, man ought always to pray. Now, let me say this. Man ought always to work. If a man doesn't work, he doesn't deserve to eat. And man ought to work. Man ought to eat. Prayer is our duty, and prayer is our privilege. What a privilege it is to come before God. My proposition is for you to go deeper in your prayer life. You can talk to God outside of the four walls of the church house. You can talk to God other than just at mealtime. And we see here that men ought to pray. It's something we ought to do. It's a desirable thing. It's as desirable as going to work. It's as desirable as eating a meal. It is our duty to make intercession for others. It is our duty to seek help for ourselves and our own circumstances, and what a privilege it is. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says, "Be careful for nothing." Don't worry about these things. "But in everything," how? "By prayer and supplication." My prayer is for you. My supplication is about me. "With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." What does that mean? That means that if you have the proper prayer life, if you are by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, making your request known to God, you will not lose your mind with the difficult situation you're in. You will have the peace of God that passes all understanding and shall keep your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer is a real thing. Prayer is a simple thing. Prayer is a desirable thing. And let me say this, prayer is a manly thing. For some reason, there's a lot of women that pray. I grew up all my life hearing about that mother back in the back of her boy's room on her knees praying for God to save her boy. I don't think we got a lot of mothers like that today. I haven't heard of that much today. I know some of you knew that. You know, Charlie's out and he's running around and he's drinking and he's in jail, in and out of jail, and you got some heartbroken mama who's back there. But I want to tell you this, prayer is a manly thing. I want you to know this, the greatest failures in our Christian walk are prayer failures. And I want you to know our homes are not where they should be in prayer because we men are not leading it. Can I tell you this? Tough guys pray. I saw something the other day. I think Jason might have sent it to me. I laughed out loud and I had to share it with Van. But it says that Chuck Norris finally admits of having a stunt double, but only during crying scenes, you know. And for some reason, we connect to that and we think that, you know, it's unmanly to pray, it's unmanly to cry, it's unmanly to be broken. But I want to tell you this, you listen to me, you'll never be, are you listening? You'll never be anything for God until you're broken. It's a manly thing. Isn't it interesting, he says in verse 1, men always to pray. All four of my kids, when they were in our home, would come to me and they say, "Dad, this is my problem. Would you please pray for me?" Many of you, if not most of you, come to me and say, "Pastor, would you please pray for me? I had a dear brother who has a great burden, a burden he didn't feel like he could share publicly, but he came up to me and I could tell it was weighing heavy on his heart. It's a difficult situation." Some of you, I'm sure, have been in the same situation, but he said, "Pastor, would you just please pray for me?" I want to tell you something. I take that on as a privilege and as a responsibility to intercede for you. And I do as your pastor. The Bible says that men ought to pray. Can I tell you this? Prayer is hard work. Prayer is some of the hardest work you'll do. Get on your knees and you pray and you ask God to bless this one, bless that one. You pray for every stray cat in the county and you look and 3 minutes has passed by. Amen. Prayer is hard work. Prayer is a man's work. I'm not saying ladies shouldn't pray. Obviously, they surely should. But men should leave this. Man is the only part of God's creation that I believe that can naturally look up. And yet, some men live in such great rebellion in their life that they never look up. Lift up your face to God. Cry out to God. Cry out to heaven. Be a man and be a praying man. Number 5, prayer is a constant thing. He says, ought always to pray in verse 1. Men ought to keep on praying just as he keeps on desiring. And men ought to exercise their bodies daily for health reasons to be strong, but so ought they to exercise their souls towards God through prayer. Someone said this, I thought it was wonderful. Continue and work if you wish to grow rich and the world's goods, but continue in prayer if you would grow rich in faith and grace. Let me tell you what part of our problem is. We don't pray. We have the emergency hatch. We have the bottom of the barrel. We have the end of our rope. And we have our beans and taters. And that's the chasm that we cast. But I want you to know this. When we get up in the morning, I usually say, "Good morning, Debbie." And I usually say, "Did you start the coffee?" And she says, "No, there's an immediate fight that starts right there." But I communicate with her, and I communicate with God the same way. Prayer is a constant thing. Keep on praying. Prayer is, number six, is the testing thing. Prayer is time with God that encourages us and allows us to continue. Prayer is why we do not faint. He says in verse 6, man ought always to pray and not to faint. It's easy to grow weary in well-doing. I don't mind being personal, but I've had a lot of surgery and hard surgery. It's been the hardest surgery I've ever had. Oh, I've had a ruptured appendix. That's child's play. I've had gallbladder. I thought, man, that's great. Bring on the gravy now, you know. That's a joke. If you ever had gallbladder problem, you understand it. But let me say this. Prayer is what allows you to continue on in this testing thing. Prayer is spending time with God that causes you to not faint, that causes you to be able to continue. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." There's been times that I have felt very weak, and I I'm just tired of the pain. I'm tired of what I'm going through. Just do whatever you've got to do. Let's get down the road. And I've prayed about it, and I've prayed about it. But I'll tell you what, there's been many times my wife has prayed for me. Audibly, as we're sitting there together, I've heard her pray and open heaven for me. Boy, what a great prayer partner. You know, it's amazing to me, there are couples who are embarrassed to pray together. They're embarrassed to read the Bible together. I can't think of a better person in my life than to do that with Debbie. She's one of the best Christians I know. Prayer is a testing thing. And we must be always praying and not fainting. Not fainting is the evidence. Listen, not fainting is the evidence of a strong faith. And a strong faith comes from spending time with God in prayer. You know why you're weak and why you're carnal? Because you don't spend time with God. Let me tell you this. It's not all the things that you don't do. I don't smoke and I don't drink and I don't chew. I don't run around with those that do. I go soul winning and I tithe and I'm faithful in church. These are the things that, it's not the things that we do or the things that we don't do that make us spiritual people. It's the time we spend in prayer with Him. If we spend time with Him, these things sort their ways out, don't they? But strong faith comes by spending time with God in prayer. And let's remember, the trial of our faith is precious. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ." Understand this, prayer is a real thing. God hears. Prayer is a simple thing. It's conversation with God. Prayer is a desirable thing. We need to intercede for others and pray for our own situation. Prayer is a manly thing. Tough guys pray. They lead their family in prayer. Prayer is a constant thing. It allows us to continue on. We are to always to pray. And then prayer is a testing thing. We're not going to faint. And then let me say lastly, prayer is a profitable thing. Amen. In Matthew 7:7, you know this verse. It says, "Ask and it shall be given you." Do you believe that? I do. Yes. Ask and it shall be given you. You know what? Some Christians don't have it. They never ask for it. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Do you believe that? Do you claim that verse? I do. And then I love this verse, Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. God showed to me many years ago as an assistant pastor. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sin, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. We don't pray, and then when we do pray, our sin becomes a barrier between us and God. Now, let me share with you. This week, I had to go back to the doctor, to the Jackson Clinic, and I had to have the pre-op. And they're going to do another EKG, blood work, A1C, all these different tests that they do. And I told him, I said, now, I had all this in November, right before the surgery. There's a 7-hour surgery on the 11th, and then like a 6-hour surgery on the 18th. And my doctor said, I'm not concerned about you. Your heart, your body, you came through two very hard, difficult surgeries. You came through just great. I'm not worried. But the anesthesiologist people, they want stats within the last 30 days. They want that. He said, one time I just sent what the guy had just recently, and the anesthesiologist refused to do the surgery till they ran the EKG and did these tests. So we're going to go ahead and do it. So I'm driving over there, and as I'm over there, I'm in great pain. And I'll just tell you, I always pray. If I'm going to the hospital to make a visit, if I'm going to a house to make a visit, I pray like this, Lord, let there be a rail in the front porch of their house so I can get up there easier. I pray for the race, for the grace to move. I just wish they would move. Going up to their house. I'm thinking about getting, someone says, I need one of those chairs you set in to go up our upstairs. I'm thinking about getting one by the mailbox and going up my parking lot. Now, I was driving over there and I was praying like this, Lord, help my A1C to be good. I'm not been very good lately. You know, Debbie makes a lot of bread and the grapes always want us to come over, and they got pie and ice cream and they got crumble cookie stuff, cookie crumble. And, it's a cookie the size of a pancake, and they got like 8 of them. And I'm eating this, and I'm eating the whole time with guilt. And I'm feeling the sugar surge through my blood. I feel it, you know. And I'm driving over there, and I'm saying, God, please let my A1C. And this doctor, he's saying, if your A1C is not at this, I'm not going to do the surgery. If this is not right, I'm not going to do the surgery. I've done surgeries before with this. Your blood does not heal right. You're more prone to infection. He says, it turns nasty quickly. I'm not going to. So I'm praying on this. But when I go to the hospital, whether I'm going to visit somebody or if I'm going for myself to the doctor, I always pray, God, give me a handicapped parking lot close to the door. Because I want to tell you something. Listen, you may not know this, but I'm crippled. I'm very crippled. I thought about parking my truck on the front porch tonight to hobble in here. And when I pulled in to Jackson Clinic, I pulled up to the front of the building. It was packed. There wasn't a parking space anywhere. And I said this, and I didn't think about it. I said, oh, Lord, I forgot to pray for a parking space. Well, I've been praying about the A1C, and I've been praying about these tests and everything. And now, Lord, I don't think I can walk through the middle of the parking lot. Oh, God, is it too late? Is it too late for me to get a good parking space? And about that time, this little Nissan was backing out of handicap. And I thought, well, it's going to be tight, but I'm going to put this truck in there. And as soon as I said that, a big Suburban backed out of the handicap. And I pulled in there right by the door.
Yeah.
And I said, God, you are so good to me. That's what I said. I'm not praying to win the lottery. I'm not praying, to have a rich uncle come in. I just want a good parking space by the door. And I want you to know, listen to me, when your prayer life has developed where it's conversation with God, you don't think about prayer. You don't bow your head. You don't have to do any of this stuff. I asked the Lord, oh Lord, I didn't pray for a parking space. It's packed. Lord, I don't think I can make it. Lord, is it too late for me to ask you to give me a parking space? Boom. Small one. Well, I'll pack this thing in. Then here comes a Suburban out. I thought, boy, God, you don't just give me one, you give me two. I said, preacher, is that really a big deal? You better believe it is. And I want you to know this. I'm trying to think of the passage. God doesn't have favorites. What's the passage? He's not a respecter of persons. So don't sit there and think, well, that's the pastor. He's going to do that for the pastor. I want to tell you this. He wants to do it for you. But you can't use him as an emergency hatch. And you don't want to just use him at the beans and taters time. You want to have a real... Listen, you don't want to have a prayer time. You need to have a prayer life. Let's stand. I asked you a question. What part does prayer play in your life? Are you a beans and tater prayer guy? Are you, when the bottom is falling out, and you're at the end of the rope, prayer guy? Let me tell you something. We need to go to bed with God tonight, and we need to wake up with him in the morning. Good night, Lord. Good morning, Lord. And spend time with him. And God will do much in your life. I've told you something. I believe that is the key to successful Christian living and opening the great blessings of God in our life. What part does prayer play in your life? Every man ought to determine tonight, I'm going to lead my family in prayer. The Apostle Paul said that I might know him. Prayer should be a powerful, powerful thing in our life. Come tonight and start your journey in a closer walk with him. Lord, bless tonight. Have your way. Help us, Lord, to get past the lunch, breakfast, lunch, and supper time prayers. Help us to overcome that when the bottom's falling out and we're dangling from the end of a rope, we're at the emergency prayer time. There are places for that. But Lord, we should have a good morning, good evening, good night relationship. Lord, the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. They didn't necessarily say, teach us how to pray. And Lord, you want to be intimate. You've been intimate with a John R. Rice and others like that. And Lord, I want to be like that with you. Help us to have a hunger and thirst for righteousness and be people of prayer. In thy name I pray. You know what you need to do. Come on right now.